Started. We're going to start from the Mishnah on the top of Tzadi Hey Amud Aleph. Okay, so the Mishnah starts with the following question: Ma bein Pesach Harishon LaSheni? What's the difference? What are the halachic differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Harishon Aser Baval Yira Baal Yimatzei. So the first distinction is that when it comes to Pesach Rishon, so there is a tangential isser of Bal Yira Bal Yimatze, right? There's an isser to have chametz around, to own chametz, to see chametz. Whereas by Pesach Sheni, the Mishnah uses this kind of a vague phrase that says chametzu matze imo babay. So for the time being, we're just going to translate that to mean that you're allowed to have chametz and matzah together in the house. Again, some Rishonim have a slightly different interpretation of what that line means, but the simple pshat is just that it means you can have chametz and matzah together, meaning to say there is no obligation to remove chametz from your house before Pesach Sheni. Now again, we'll see the Gemara's going to discuss what exactly the parameters of that are. Fine. Then the Mishnah says, Harishon ta'on hala ba'achilaso, v'hasheni eno ta'on hala ba'achilaso, v'zeh ta'on hala ba'asiyasa. And then the Mishnah has a further distinction, that for Pesach Rishon, there's an obligation to sing Hallel during the time that you're eating the Karban Pesach. That obligation does not apply to Pesach Sheni. However, during the time of the Shechitas HaKarban, you have to say Hallel even for Pesach Sheni. And then finally, the Mishnah says, V'ne'echolin sali amatom rorim v'dochin es ha-Shabbos. And the Mishnah says that both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni have to be roasted, right? They have to be eaten, that's the way you have to eat them. And you have to eat them together with matzah and maror. And the Mishnah says that both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are Docha Shabbos. So again, the Gemara is going to analyze all of these different halachas that we just mentioned. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Kechol Chukasa Pesach Yahasu Oso, B'mitzvah Shebegufo Akasa Medaber, Mitzvah Sha'al Gufo Minayin, Talmud Lomar Al Matzosum Rorim Yochluhu. So the Gemara cites the Pasuk from Bahaloscha in the context of Pesach Sheni. The Pasuk says, Kechol Chukasa Pesach Yahasu Oso, that all the laws of Pesach Rishon apply to Pesach Sheni. So the starting point is, the Gemara says, that presumably one would think that only refers to Mitzvah Shebegufo. Mitzvos are halachos that are directly relevant to the animal itself, that pertain to the actual animal of the carbon. How do I know that mitzvos that are not directly on the carbon Pesach, but are associated with the carbon Pesach, those also carry over to Pesach Sheni? So that's why the pasuk says in Behaloscha, Al Matzosu Rorim Yochlu, the fact that you have to eat the carbon Pesach together with matzah and maror, that's not a halacha that relates to the animal directly, but it is a halacha that's relevant to the carbon Pesach in general. So the Gemara says, you see from here that even those types of halachos also carry over to Pesach Sheni. Then the Gemara says, Yachal afilu mitzvos shelo al gufo. I might have thought that even mitzvos that are completely irrelevant to the Karban Pesach, let's say the chiyuv to get rid of chametz, that has absolutely nothing at all to do with the Karban Pesach, I might have thought those halachos also apply to Pesach Sheni. The Gemara says, no. Talmud lomar ve'etzem lo yishberufo, mashvira sa'etzem miyuchan mitzvah shebegufo, afkol mitzvah shebegufo. The Gemara says, you see from the fact that the Torah specifies that you're not allowed to break the bone of the Karban Pesach. Now again, we know that already from Pesach Rishon, but the Torah spells it out again by Pesach Sheni. Why does the Torah do that? To teach you that there's a limitation in terms of which types of halachos carry over to Pesach Sheni. Only halachos that are either directly related to the animal or at least somewhat related, like, you know, eating it together with the matzah mar. But halachos that are completely unrelated, like getting rid of chametz, those do not carry over to Pesach Sheni. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Ya'asu Oso b'mitzvos shebegufo akasim edaber. So Isi ben Yehuda does not really disagree in terms of content with the Chachamim, but he quotes a different part of the pasuk. He says that the drasha that we started the Gemara with, we said kechol chukasa pesach yasu oso from Parshas Bahaloscha, that the Pesach Sheni has to mimic the Pesach Rishon. So Isi ben Yehuda says that halacha that we derived from that pasuk, where we said that refers to mitzvos that are directly related to the Karban Pesach, you don't need the first half of the pasuk for that. You don't need the words kechol chukasa pesach. You can just derive that from the last words of the pasuk that say yasu oso. Yasu oso means that you have to do the Pesach Sheni, you have to perform the actions of the Pesach Sheni in the exact same way that you perform the actions of the Pesach Rishon. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Yochol Af Mitzvah Shelo Al Gufo, Ha'amar B'Mitzvah Shebegufo Al Kosem Medaber. So the Gemara says, hang on one second. The Gemara earlier had a Hava Mina, that perhaps even mitzvos that were not directly related to the Karban, like eating the Karban with matzah and maror, which is Karban Pesach, you know, oriented, but it's not a direct halacha, I might have thought that those also carry over. So the Gemara says, what kind of a hava mean is that? Because the Gemara told us from the pasuk of kechol chukasa pesach ya'asu oso, that pasuk refers only to halachos that are directly related to the animal itself, like, for example, not breaking a bone of the Karban. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi ka'amar. Hashta da'amar al matzos umro rim yochluhu, alma ya'asu oso lav dafkahu. Once we have the pasuk of Al Matzos Umrorim Yochlu, which again is a halacha that's related to the Karban Pesach, but not directly related to the animal, because it tells you to eat the Karban together with Matz and Maror. Once you have that pasuk, what that's teaching you basically is that the words Ya'asu Oso in Parashas Bahaloscha are Lav Davka. They're not specific. What does that mean? Because Ya'asu Oso, the starting point was Ya'asu Oso means only halachos that are directly related to the animal, like for example, not breaking a bone, those halachos spill over to Pesach Sheni. But once you have Al Matzos Umrorim Yochlu, which is not a halacha that directly impacts the karban, it's almost tangential to the karban, so now you see that Ya'asu Oso is clearly Lav Davka. Ya'asu Oso doesn't mean that only halachos that are on the animal carry over, but anything that has to do at all with the karban Pesach carries over. So now the Gemara says, Ema Havalei Keprad Uchlal V'Nasa Klal Mosif Al Aprad V'Afilu Kol Milei Nami Kamash Malan. The Gemara says that I might have had the following Hava Amina. The phrase Ya'asu Oso, or Kechol Kukas HaPesach Ya'asu Oso, is a very broad, very kind of a vague, open-ended phrase, right? That's what the Gemara refers to as a klal. It's a generalization. And then you have another pasuk in Bahaloscha, Al Matzos Umrorim Yochlu. It's a very specific halacha. Eat the karban Pesach Sheni together with matzah and maror. So generally, whenever you have a prat and a klal, whenever you have a specification and a generalization, the rule usually is that the klal, the generalization, expands the parameters of the prat. In other words, the prat that says only that eat the karban Pesach with matzah and maror, so that it seems to indicate that only specific halachos of Pesach Sheni carry over. But then when the Torah goes and says Ya'asu, you know, it says Kechol Chukasa Pesach Ya'asu Oso, so that teaches me that we're going to now expand that halacha. Now perhaps one might have thought that all halachos of Pesach Rishon should spill over to Pesach Sheni. So no, comes the Gemara, it says Kamash Malon, that it's not true. That's the Chiddush of our Gemara, that not all halachos that pertain to Pesach Rishon will necessarily carry over to Pesach Sheni, which again, as we just pointed out, those are halachos that are completely tangential to the Karban, like for example, getting rid of Chametz. What was that, sir?
Does the word also indicate specifically about the karban only?
Again, correct. That's our starting point, right? In other words, the starting point is Kechol Chukasa Pesach Ya'asu Oso. I have this very open-ended phrase, right? In other words, Pesach Sheni should be exactly like Pesach Rishon. But then the Torah goes on and says, oh, by the way, eat it with matzah and maror. In other words, what's the purpose of the Torah specifying that? In other words, if Pesach Rishon is eaten with matzah and maror, so that should have already been included in the first phrase of Kechol Chukasa Pesach Ya'asu Oso. So why does the Torah have to now go and rewrite every single halacha that we know from Pesach Rishon, applying it to Pesach Sheni? The fact that the Torah did that.
Either way.
Well, again, that's part of the Chiddush of the Gemara. In other words, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way and starts to delineate the halachos that we already know from Pesach Rishon, and it's spelling it out again by Pesach Sheni, is an indication that there's something unique, that not all the halachos of Pesach Rishon are necessarily going to carry over to Pesach Sheni. That's exactly what the Gemara is teaching us. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Isi ben Yehuda hai etzem ayoveli. So now the question becomes, Isi ben Yehuda, that was the other sheet in the Gemara, where he only derived from the words Ya'asu Oso. He ignored the first half of the pasuk of Kechol Chukasa Pesach. So now the question is, he derives this notion, this concept, that certain halachos of Pesach Rishon carry over to Pesach Sheni from the words Ya'asu Oso. What then does he derive from the pasuk of the Etzem Lo Yishberuvo? Again, why would the Torah have to go out of its way and specify, don't break a bone in the Pesach Sheni, if we already know that from Pesach Rishon? According to Isi Ben Yehuda, the starting point is that everything should be derived from the words Ya'asu Oso. Right? Ya'asu Oso just teaches me that all the laws that pertain to Pesach Rishon should apply to Pesach Sheni. Why then would the Torah have to go out of its way and specify that, by the way, there's a halacha, don't break the bones? We know that already from Pesach Rishon. So what then does he learn from that pasuk? So the Gemara says, Miboy leila echad etzem sheyesh b'moach ve'echad etzem she'ein b'moach. According to Isi ben Yehuda, the isser of breaking a bone in the karban applies to all types of bones, regardless of whether those bones have marrow on them. One might have thought that perhaps the isser of shvirasa etzem, of breaking a bone in the karban Pesach, maybe that's only for a more chashuv type of a bone, one that has some meat on it, that has marrow on it. So no, the chiddush of the Torah is that even bones that have no marrow on them, they're still an isser of shvirasa etzem. Then the Gemara says, Rabbanan hayasu oso mayavili. So now the Gemara throws the question back at the Rabbanan. What do the Rabbanan derive from the phrase ya'asu oso? Again, because the Rabbanan were the ones who told us that there are different, you know, stages of which halachos we derive. Because first the Torah says, Kechol chukas ha-pesach ya'asu oso, that's the more general, you know, the halachos that pertain to the carbon itself. Then we had amatzos umrorim yochlu, those were the halachos that were sort of tangential to the carbon. And then we had the pasuk of etzem lo yishberuvo. So what exactly do the Rabbanan derive from ya'asu oso? So the Gemara says, Miboy le she'in shochten es ha-pesach ha-layachid, d'chama de'efshar la'ahadure ma'hadrinan. So the Rabbanan derive from this pasuk that one is not really permitted to shecht the Pesach Sheni for an individual, for only one person. And the Gemara says, to such an extent that we go out of our way. Let's say there's only one person who's going to be putter from Pesach Rishon. There's only one guy in all of Klal Klal Yisrael, who's Bederech Rechoka, or only one guy who's Tamei, the Gemara says that we're going to try to go out of our way to make a second person Tamei, or make a second person Bederech Rechoka, or whatever it is, to get him off the hook from Pesach Rishon, because we don't want to bring Pesach Sheni with one guy. Why not? What's the issue? Because the Torah says Ya'asu, Ya'asu also in the plural. So therefore, the Gemara says we're going to try as much as possible to have at least two people participate in the Pesach Sheni. Okay, then the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan, Kechol Chukasa Pesach Ya'asu also, Yochol Kishim Shahar Rishon Asr Beval Yireu Bal Yimatzei, Kach Sheni Asr Beval Yireu Bal Yimatzei, Talmud Lomar Amatzo Sum Rorim Yochlu. So again, this is kind of rehashing what we just saw before. I might have thought that the Isser of Bal Yireu and Bal Yimatzei also applies to Pesach Sheni, so the Gemara says, no, it's not true, since the Torah says Amatzo Sum Rorim Yochlu, so only the halachos that are either directly related to the Karban, or at least somewhat related to the Karban, like eating it with matzah and mar, are those carry over to Pesach Sheni, but halachas that are completely tangential, like getting rid of your chametz, do not carry over. Then the Gemara says, "Ve'ein li ela mitzvah essay." I'm sorry, what?
Years ago,
someone was going to be a teacher. So, can I take a piece of my Pesach? Yeah. Take a piece of matzah mara, put it in my mouth, and take a
piece of
Wonder Bread and put it in my mouth and chew it up and eat it.
What do you mean?
You're saying for Pesach Sheni? You're saying?
Yes.
No, because
even
for Pesach Sheni, even though there's no halacha to get rid of chametz for Pesach Sheni, you're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach itself with chametz. That you're for sure not allowed to do. Oh. Right? It's only that there's no chiv to get rid of chametz in your house. There's no chiv of bedikas chametz, right, for Pesach Sheni. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Ve'ein li ala mitzvahs esei. Mitzvahs lo sa'asei minayin. Talmud lomar lo yashiru mimenu ad boker." So I only know that the mitzvahs asei associated with the Karban Pesach carry to Pesach Sheni. How do I know that the lo sa'aseis also spill over? Because the Torah says, there's an isser of nosar. You're not allowed to leave the meat of the Karban Pesach over to the following morning, which again is also true of the Pesach Rishon. The Gemara says that I might have thought that maybe only low level, low sases, like what we call, a lava nita klase, a lo sase that could be rectified by an ase, which the most famous example of that is nosar, right? The Torah says, don't leave the meat of a carbon over until the morning, but if you do, then you have to burn it. That's called a lav hanita klase, right? When the Torah gives you a way to circumvent, to get around the lav, that's a lav hanita klase. So I might have thought only the lower level lav, and only the lav hanita klase is carry over to Pesach Sheni. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Even the full-fledged lav, and like not breaking the bone of the carbon, those also spill over to Pesach Sheni. Okay. Then the Gemara says, b'chloli dematos umerora mai kamarbe, tzliyesh, befrate mai memaylei, hashbasas seor. Epochana, mitzvah de gufei adiv. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that the phrase on the pasuk that says al matzosum rorim yochlu, you have to eat the Pesach Sheni with matzah and maror. So what's being included in that phrase? What generalization can we derive from there? So you see from there, the Pesach Sheni, just like Pesach Rishon, has to be roasted. And what are we, and what's the Gemara excluding from that phrase? We're excluding the halacha, or the requirement of getting rid of your chametz, which again only applies before Pesach Rishon, not Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara asks, well, why don't we reverse those derivations? Why don't we say that maybe there is no obligation to eat the Pesach Sheni roasted, but there is an obligation to get rid of the chametz before Pesach Sheni? The Gemara says no. The Gemara says that makes no sense, because the halacha of roasting the karban is a mitzvah de gufei. It's a mitzvah that applies to the actual animal, whereas getting rid of chametz, as we already mentioned a few times before, is a tangential halacha. Then the Gemara says, "Bechloli de lo yashiru mimenu ad boker mai kamar belei lo sotzi mimenu befrate mai kamar belei lo yeirav lo yematzei epochana mitzvah de gufei adiv." So again, a very similar type of a drasha. The Gemara says that, based on the pasuk of Lo Yashiru Mimenu Ad Boker, the Isser of Nosar, you're not allowed to leave the meat of the Karban Pesach over until the following morning. So what are we including from that phrase? The Gemara says, the Gemara says that we include the Isser of what's called Yotze, right? Yotze means that you're not allowed to take the meat of the Karban outside the confines of either the Azara or Yerushalayim, depending on what type of Karban it is, if it's Kachim Kalim or Kachim Kadashim. So the Gemara says that the Isser of Yotze, of taking the meat of a Karban outside the confines of Yerushalayim or the Azara, is very similar conceptually to the Isser of Nosar. It means don't take it out, don't leave it over. So those types of Yisur make more sense to compare to one another. And the Isur that's being excluded from this pasuk, of course, is the Isur of Bal Yireu Bal Yimatzei, because again, it's a tangential type of an Isur. And that's why the Gemara feels compelled to make that inclusion and exclusion the way that it does, because again, the Isur of getting rid of your chametz, the Isur of Bal Yireu Bal Yimatzei, has very little to do with the Karban Pesach itself. Okay, then the Gemara says, similarly, b'chloli de'etzem lo yishperuvo ma'ika marbe, al tochlu mimenu na, befrate ma'ika mimatei lo sishchar al chametz dam zivchi. And again, the Gemara for the third time gives a very, very similar type of a drasha, where the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk, ve'etzem lo yishperuvo, where the Torah says you're not allowed to break the bone of the Pesach Sheni. So what are we including from that? So we're including the fact that you're not allowed to eat the meat of a Karban Pesach raw. Just as Pesach Rishon cannot be eaten raw, so too Pesach Sheni. And we're excluding the Isser of lo sishchat al chametz dam zechi. The Pesach Rishon is not allowed to be shechted when there's chametz around in your house. Again, you can't eat the even Pesach Sheni together with the chametz, but in terms of the Isser of shechting the Karban Pesach with chametz, that only applies to Pesach Rishon. And again, because that Isser is very much tangential to the Karban itself, it makes sense that it would not carry over to Pesach Sheni. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah HaRishon, Telon Halal Ba'achilah. So one of the other distinctions between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni is that Pesach Rishon, you have to say Halal while you're eating it, but not by Pesach Sheni, but in both cases, you have to say Halal during the Shechita when you're actually preparing the Karban. So the Gemara asks, Minah Hani Mili, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shom Ben Yehud Tzadok, Amar Kra, Hashir Yihye Lachem Kilel Hiskadish Chag, Laila HaMakudash Lachag Taon Halal, Laila She'in Makudash Lachag Ein Taon Halal. How do we know that you only have to sing Halal during the eating of the Pesach Rishon or not Pesach Sheni? So the Gemara derives from the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu that says, Hashir Yihye Lachem Kilel Hiskadish Chag. The song will be for you like the night that was sanctified as a holiday. So the Gemara says, you see from this Pasuk, that only a night that has the status of a Chag, i.e. Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni is not a holiday. There's no Isser Malacha on Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says that you see from here that it's only on a night that qualifies as a Chag, that's when there's a Chiyuv to sing Hallel during the time of the during the time of the eating of the Karban, but not by Pesach Sheni. Okay, then we said, Zev is at Teuna Hal Bas Yasin, but in both cases, even Pesach Sheni requires Hallel when you're preparing it, when you're shechting the Karban. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason for that? So Iba Yasema Laila Kamemai, Yom Lo Kamemai. So either you can suggest, based on the Pasuk we just cited before from Yeshayahu, that Pasuk that says Hashir Yihye Lachem Kilel Hiskadish Chag is only excluding a night that's not considered a Chag. So in other words, the night of Pesach Sheni, it's not a Chag, and therefore there's no Chiyuv to say Hallel when you're eating. But since you shecht the Karban Pesach the day before, you shecht it during the daytime, as we know, so perhaps one can argue that even if though it's not a holiday, even though it's not a Chag, you still have to say Hallel. That's one option. The Gemara says almost rhetorically, the Gemara says, is it possible that Klal Yisrael will shecht their Karban Pesach and will take their lulavim and not say Hallel? In other words, the point here is that when Klal Yisrael are engaged in these very joyous types of mitzvos, they're almost compelled to say Hallel. So the Gemara says, again, not necessarily based on any psukim, the Gemara says, in other words, of course, when you're preparing the Karban Pesach, you're going to have to recite Hallel. Okay, then we said, Vena Echol and Sili. The Mishnah then rattled off a number of other differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So first of all, we said that both of them have to be eaten roasted, but we also noted in the Mishnah that they're both Docha Shabbos, and they both have to be eaten together with matzah and maror. So the Gemara infers from our Mishnah, Shabbos in Tumalo, Masnis in Delo Ker Rabbi Yehuda, Desanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I'm sorry, Desanya Docha Es HaShabbos in Docha Es HaTuma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Docha Es HaTuma. So the Gemara says that we can infer from our Mishnah that Pesach Sheni is Docha Shabbos, but it's not Docha Tuma. Now again, we spend a lot of time talking about how the Pesach Rishon, if the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tamei, can be brought in a state of Tuma. So the Gemara seems to be inferring from our Mishnah that is not the case for Pesach Sheni. However, this seems to be a machlokas. The Tanakhama says, yes, Pesach Sheni cannot be offered in a state of Tuma, but Rabbi Yehuda seems to disagree with that. So the Gemara says, what's the logic here? My time of the Tanakhama, Mipne Tuma Dechisiv, Yachzur V'yasiv Tuma. So the Tanakhama says, it makes no sense. It says the whole reason why this guy couldn't bring Pesach Rishon is because he was Tamei. So now you're going to tell him to bring another Karban in a state of Tuma. It seems to undermine the entire purpose of Pesach Sheni. The whole point of Pesach Sheni was to rectify the fact that he was Tamei. So if the guy is still Tamei, then you're not rectifying anything. However, for Rabbi Yehuda, HaTorah Chazra Alav La'asoso B'tahara Lo Zachah Yaseh B'tuma. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It says Pesach Sheni is giving you an option. It's saying, if you were Tamei on Pesach Rishon, here's your opportunity to make it up with Pesach Sheni. If you happen to be Tamei, you can still bring it. It's in other words, the Torah is not mandating that you have to be Tahar when you bring Pesach Sheni. It's just saying that if you missed Pesach Rishon, bring Pesach Sheni. If you happen to be Tahar, great. And if you're not, you can still bring Pesach Sheni according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Pesach
Rishon. Go back to the Halal issue for a second.
Yeah, sure.
So, on the first Pesach Rishon, they do say Halal when they're shechting the animal and while they're eating it?
Correct. Pesach Sheni, you only sing when you're shechting, not when you're eating.
Right, understood.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Pesach Rishon Docha Es HaShabbos, Pesach Sheni Docha Es HaShabbos, Pesach Rishon Docha Es HaTuma, Pesach Sheni Docha Es HaTuma, Pesach Rishon Toon Lina, Pesach Sheni Toon Lina, Docha Es HaTuma, Keman, Ke Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara cites a whole brisa that seems to conform with Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says that both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are Docha Shabbos, and both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are Docha Tuma. And the Gemara says that both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni require what's called Lina. Lina means that after you offer a karban, like, the person was not allowed to just leave Yerushalayim. They had to spend the night there. There's a special halacha that you have to spend the night in Yerushalayim after offering the karban. The Gemara says that halacha also applies to Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says the fact that this brisa says that Pesach Sheni can also be offered in a state of Tumah seems to be conforming with the Shita of Rabbi Huda. The problem is, the Gemara says, Ulu Rabbi Huda ta'un lina, v'hasanya Rabbi Huda omer minayin l'pesach sheni she'in ta'un lina, shene emaru faniso v'aboker v'alachto liyo halacho chsev, sheishas yamim tochal matzos, hanachal l'shisha ta'un lina, she'in achal l'shisha ein ta'un lina. The Gemara says that the Braisa also tells us that there's a concept or a halacha of lina. You have to spend the night after offering pesach sheni in Yerushalayim. But Rabbi Huda clearly disagrees with that. How do we know that? Because Rabbi Huda derives from the juxtaposition in Parshas Re'eh. The pasuk says, "Ufanisa v'aboker v'halachta liyolalacha," that the following morning, after you offer the carbon, then you can go back home, which means that you have to spend the night after you offer the carbon in Yerushalayim. But then it also says, "Sheishas yamim tochal matzo." So Rabbi Huda says we derive from this juxtaposition that only at a time when there's a chiyuv for matzah for the whole week of Pesach, i.e., Pesach Rishon, that's when there's an obligation of lina to spend the night thereafter offering the carbon, but not by Pesach Sheni. So this brisa, on the one hand, sounds to hold like Rabbi Huda in terms of Tumah, but it seems to go against Rabbi Huda in terms of Lina. So the Gemara says, you're right, Trei Tanai V'alibi to Rabbi Huda. There were two different versions amongst the Talmidim as to what Rabbi Huda held in regards to this Chiyuv of Lina. Okay. Then the Mishnah tells us, HaPesach Sheba B'Tumah Lo Yochlu Mimenu Zavin V'Zavos Nidos V'Yoldos V'Im Achlu P'turin Mikareis V'Rabbi Eliezer Poter Afal B'Yas Mikdash. So we know, again, as we mentioned many times before, that you can have a scenario of a Karban Pesach being offered in a state of Tumah if the majority of Klal Yisrael Tamei, specifically with Tumas Smeis, as we mentioned already earlier in the Gemara, right? That heter, that allowance of bringing the carbon betuma, is presupposing that majority of Klal Yisrael have Tumas Smeis. What if you have people who are Tamei for other reasons, Azav, Azava, Nida, Yoledes, those types of categories? So the Mishnah says that even when you're bringing a carbon Pesach in a state of Tuma, because 90% of Klal Yisrael are Tamei with Tumas Smeis, when you have a person who's Azav, Azava, Nida, Yoledes, etc., so the Mishnah says that they are not allowed to partake of that carbon Pesach, even though the whole carbon is being offered in a state of Tumah, that was a special allowance made for Tumas Meis. It was never made for these other forms of Tumah. However, the Mishnah does say that if they went ahead and ate from the carbon anyway, they're not Chayav Karis for that, since the carbon anyway is really being offered in a state of Tumah. And Rebbe Eliezer takes it even a step further and says that even if they enter the Mikdash in a state of Tumah, which normally is a Chayav Karis, they will be putter from Karis in this scenario, because again, since the majority of Klal Yisrael are allowed to enter the Mikdash and partake of the carbon betuma anyway, so he says if they entered in a state of Tumah, they're going to be putter from Karis. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan, Zavin v'zavos nidos v'yoldos she'achlu b'fesach sheba b'tuma yachal yehu chayavin tamid lomar kol tohor yochal basar v'hanefesh asher tochal basar mizevach ha'shalomim asher la'ashem v'tuma so alav v'nichrisa nechal la'tohorim chayavim alav mishum tamei v'she'enu nechal la'tohorim ein tamein chayavin alav mishum tamei. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that even when the Pesach is offered in a state of Tuma, that if someone who's tamei but not because of Tumas Meis, he's a Zav, Zava, etc., I might have thought that they're chayav karis for partaking of the carbon. The Gemara says it's not true, because since the Torah tells us in Parashas Tzav, it says, Kol tohor yochal basar. Everyone tohor has to eat the meat of the karban. And then it also says that if someone partakes of a karban when they're tamei, they're chayav kares. So you see that only when you have a scenario of exclusively tohor people eating karban Pesach, i.e. when all of Klal Yisrael or most of Klal Yisrael are tohor, that's when there's a problem. That's when there's a chayav kares for a tamei person to partake of the karban. But if rov Klal Yisrael is tamei anyway, so then even though Azav and Azava are not supposed to eat from the karban, but if they did, they're not going to be chayav kares. That's according to the Tanakh. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yochal dachaku zavin v'nei. Then the Gemara says further that according to Rebbe Eliezer, I might have thought, let's say I have a current Pesach that's being offered Betuma anyway, right? 90% of Klal Yisrael are Tamei Betuma Asmei. So there's one guy who's a Zav or a Zav or whatever, and the guy forces his way into the Mikdash. So I might have thought he's Chayav Karis for that. So the Gemara says no, because we derive from the Pesukim and Parshas Naso, the pasuk says Yishalchu min haMachaneh called Sarua v'Cholza v'Chol Tamei Lanafesh. Which we, again, we cited this pasuk earlier back in the earlier prakim where the Torah says you have to kick out certain people from the Machaneh, certain types of Tamei people, Azav, a Mitzora, right? Those types of people who are Tamei and anyone who's Tamei with Tumas Meis. So the Gemara says the only time that Azav, let's say, is going to be Chayav Karis for entering the Mikdash or for partaking of the Karman is only at a time when you're also kicking out those who are Tamei Lanis from the Mikdash. But here, in this case, when you're offering a Pesach in a state of tuma anyway, so you're allowing 90% of Klal Yisrael who are tummy betumah smis to come into the Beis HaMikdash anyway, so therefore the chi of karis is not going to kick in. In other words, since the pasuk and
Parshas, who's not allowed then, when the majority are tuma, have tuma smis?
Yeah.
Person is not
anyone else? Zav, Zava, Nida, Yoleda, Sametzora. What? No. We said in the Mishnah that they're not supposed to partake of the carbon, but if they did, they're not chayav karis. So in other words, the halacha is they're really not allowed to partake, even though the carbon is being offered in a tumah space. Right. Exactly. You're not chayav karis, but in other words, normally if a tamei person eats a carbon,
are they yotze?
That's a good question. Are they yotze and do they now not have to bring pesach sheni? I would say probably yes, because in other words, the fact that they're not chayav karis, so it sounds like again they weren't supposed to do it, but lemaisa, if they're not chayav karis, it sounds like they were probably yotze b'diavad. Yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Boy, Rav Yosef." So now the Gemara has almost like a corollary of the previous question. So again, we know. Let's say this is our standard case of a Pesach Abba Betuma. 90% of Klal Yisrael are Tamei Tumas Meis, and we're justifiably bringing the Karban. But now the question is, how far into the Mikdash are we allowing these Tamei people to go? Because again, they have to come to the Mikdash to partake of the Karban, even though they're Tamei. So the question is, can we let them walk into the Heichal? So the Gemara says, was the allowance only that they can enter the Azara and partake of the Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah? Or maybe once they're in, we can let them walk wherever they want. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amar Krav, Yishalchu min ha-machaneh, afilu miktas machaneh. So one version of the Gemara that Rava quotes is that, no, the Pasuk says, Yishalchu min ha-machaneh, afilu miktas machaneh. That means that even in a case, in other words, even though you're not sending everyone out of the... out of the Beis HaMikdash, because since they have to partake of the Karban, but they're still somewhat of a restriction in terms of where they're allowed to go. They can't walk wherever they want. They can't go into the Heichal, so they're still somewhat limited in terms of where they can walk. That's one version. Then the Gemara says, Ika da'amre, Amar Rava, Amar Kra, V'yishalchu min ha-machaneh el michutz la-machaneh t'shalachum. Kol heicha de-karinam be el michutz la-machaneh t'shalachum, karinam be v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh. So according to the second version, the Gemara says the exact opposite, that the only time that there's a problem of a tamei mace entering into the heichal, that's when he's not allowed to enter bechlal. So if rule of klal yisrael are tar, then yes, that a person who's tamei betumas mace can't get anywhere near the mikdash. But once you're allowing them to come into the mikdash anyway, because rule of klal yisrael are tamei betumas mace, so then all bets are off. So then once they can come in, they can go wherever they want. Okay. Then the gemara says, "Boy, Rav Yosef, dachaku tamei maceim ba'achlu emure pesach abba betumah mahu mi de ishtere tumas baser ishtere nami tumas emurin o dilma mai de ishtere ishtere mai de lo ishtere lo ishtere." Gemara again has a very similar kind of a question here. So again, you have a guy who's tummy with tumas meis, and you're bringing the carbon with tumas meis anyway. So the question is, again, to what extent did we say that the fact that you're tummy with tumas meis allows you to partake of this carbon? So the Gemara says, let's say the guy goes ahead and eats not just the regular meat of the carbon, but he eats the emure ha-pesach. What are the emure ha-pesach? So that refers to the kidneys and certain kinds of the kidneys and the diaphragm of the animal. So those parts of the carbon that become that became tummy. So the question is he allowed to partake of those parts of the animal or not? So again, do we say that once we let him eat the carbon, he can eat whatever he wants? Or maybe no. Maybe there are still some restrictions in terms of which parts of the carbon he can eat. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava Michti Tumas Emurin Mehecha Israbe Mi Tumas Baser Dechsev Asher LaHashem LaRabo Sesa Emurin Kol Hecha DeIsei LaTumas Baser Isei LaTumas Emurin Kol Hecha DeLeisei LaTumas Baser Leisei LaTumas Emurin." So comes Rava and says, it's very simple. He says that the whole derivation, the whole source for the concept of tuma on the emurin, on the limbs, on the organs, the innards of the animal, was itself derived from the halacha of tuma regarding the meat. So once you're telling me that a tamei betumas meis person can eat the meat of the carbon because 90% of Klal Yisrael are tamei anyway, so now we can also allow him to eat the kidneys and the diaphragm and you know all the inner organs as well. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Boy, Rabbi Zera, emurei pesach mitzrayim hecha akterin." The Gemara is an interesting question, which is actually going to segue real more into tomorrow's daf. The Gemara has a question: how were the limbs, the innards, the organs of the carbon pesach that was offered him at Mitzrayim, how were that? In other words, how is that offered up? What's the issue exactly? What's bothering the Gemara here? Because there's no mention anywhere in Chumash that Klal Yisrael had access to a mizbeach. So even though they offered a carbon pesach, as we know, that's the whole story in Parshas Bo. But the question is, where exactly did they offer all these organs and innards and parts that we just normally associated with the hakrava? So the hakrava of the carbon pesach. So Amar le'Avaye, he says, "Uman le'malan delo shaviske oven va'od hatana Rav Yosef gimel mizbechos sayusham al hamashkov yal shtei mizuzos v'sumidi acharin lo hava." So Abaye Why? He says, what kind of question is that? He says, maybe Klal Yisrael ate all the parts of the animal. They roasted and ate every single thing. Now the question is, what do you mean? Aren't there parts of the animal that you're not allowed to eat certain fat, certain chilev? The answer is, this is before Matan Torah. So who says that Klal Yisrael was instructed to not eat, you know, all these different parts of the animal? So maybe they ate the whole entire thing. Maybe there was no need for them. I'm saying the Gemara's point is that maybe there was no reason for a mizbeach here because there was nothing left to offer. They ate the entire animal, right? That's first of all. Then the Gemara says also, right, that Rav Yosef tells us that Klal Yisrael made up three mizbeachs, even though there was no formal mizbeach in the Midbar or in Mitzrayim, but they put, as we know, from Makas Bechoros, they put the blood on the doorpost, on the lintel, right? So those almost acted as these kind of like, temporary mizbeachs. So he says that was it. So in other words, those were their mizbeachs. So because of that, the Gemara says there was no reason for them to offer any part of the animal on the mizbeach because they did it on the doorpost, on the lintel, etc.